We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Fourth and final quarter of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here one more time. This is Ask Greg. We usually do this a little earlier in the week. We have shifted it to this show just because, you know, we're saving our best for last. So Greg Pickle is our best. And so here he is. Segment brought to you, as always, by tailgatewine.com, where they have some Penn State-themed wines for sale in 1855 Vidal, Sapphire Blue, Blueberry Wine, and Old Main Pinot Grigio. 409 Tailgate Club, you can get your wine at any of the four great brewskis locations in State College. You can also get your 409 Tailgate Club wine and barbecue this coming weekend at the Central PA Outdoor and Sports Show, September 22nd and 23rd. At the Central PA Outdoor and Sports Show, it's being held at the number one cycle center, Harley-Davidson, located on Route 322 east of State College in Center Hall, September 22nd and 23rd. And you can check out more about Tailgate Wine at tailgatewine.com. So, and by the way, the winning question today on Ask Greg will get a bottle of Tailgate Wine. So there you go. Stay tuned. Check them out, tailgatewine.com. Fire your questions off. Use the Keystone Sports app. There's a nice and easy button that says Ask Greg. And once you know it, when you click on it, you get to ask Greg a question. So are you ready, Greg?
Let's do it.
I was informed last week I was a little too wordy. Not my words, somebody else's. So I'm going to shut up and just let you talk, Greg. I'll read the question and I'll take a nap. All right. Frank from Warminster, our good friend Dirt Frank, says, "Hi, Greg. I know Penn State has scored a bunch of points against teams they are clearly better than. When I watch the games, I'm always trying to determine if what we're doing is good enough to beat Ohio State, Michigan, etc. That being said, should we be worried about the slow starts, the defensive tackle position, or something else that will hurt us most versus the better teams, us and we in that scenario being Penn State?"
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think that ultimately Penn State is scoring enough on offense to hang with any team in the country. How could you argue otherwise? I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would imagine they're among the top 15, maybe even top 10 in terms of average points per game so far. Yeah, I think the offense is doing enough, and it starts with the offensive line, Dustin. And we talked a lot about it, that this group, especially with Will Fries out on the right side now, is playing its best football of the James Franklin era, I think. There's no way really to debate that. And Penn State is putting up a lot of points because of that. And yeah, I think the offense is in a place to, it can play with anybody in the country. I'm more worried about the defense in that regard.
Good question here from Dave from Milwaukee. Says, "Hi, Greg," with an exclamation point. "Does an underachieving Florida State help Penn State keep John Dunmore in the 2019 class? Or does he see that as an opportunity to play right away and not have to go against Justin Shorter, possibly Julian Fleming, for catches over the next few years at Penn State?" So I have had the same thought, by the way.
So Penn State is number 16 in average scoring per game with 48 points. Your thought was that it would be more likely for him to leave or not?
You watch Florida State struggle and you recognize Florida State as a potential, because this is the kid who called Florida State his dream school. The question is, with Florida State, you know, working through a lot of issues in Willie Taggart's first year, does this help Penn State's chances with John Dunmore?
It's a fair question, but I don't necessarily think that it changes his recruitment any more than it would. I guess, to put it another way, I think if he wants to go to Florida State, he was going to go to Florida State whether the Seminoles were 12-0 and 0-12, and whether they let all the receivers leave or if the receivers were Hall of Fame caliber pass catchers. I think that more than anything, what it comes down to is that John Dunmore committed to Penn State even though he knew Florida State might become an option later on. So I think he sticks with the Lions. I do.
So that's a good question. I think it's fair to wonder, when you recognize a threat in recruiting, if that threat becomes diminished, you like the chances. All right, Tim from State College wants to know, what's going on with John Reed? I know he's been injured and Penn State has some depth at cornerback, but will we start to see more of him moving forward, maybe in a starting role if Tariq Casper-Fields goes back to the bench?
Well, I mean,
I think you're trying to rationalize it some way, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the best way to look at it. I just wonder, like, he's been dressed, but he hasn't done anything during pregame warmups, which is bizarre to me. I don't know, man. I just think that, clearly Penn State has seen something with him health-wise that is a problem. and they're going to keep him out until he's ready to go, because it does nobody any good to run him out there when he's not healthy, especially at the level that Tariq Castro Fields, Donovan Johnson, and Imani Oriwariye have been playing at.
So here's a question that came in, I believe it was for last week, that we mentioned, I think, in Ask Greg, but now I want to address it head on. Matt from Yardley.
Oh, good.
Question for Greg: when will we have a segment for KSN or write an article for Penn Live and discuss Miles Sanders and the Penn State running game without referring to Saquon Barkley? Here's hoping it's sooner than later.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair time of year, I guess, to move on from Barkley when you're talking about Sanders.
This was, by the way, Matt from Yardley, your response. Well, I don't think we mentioned Saquon Barkley in either of the two shows that we've done this week.
I think I may have mentioned him. Earlier.
So you're a bigger problem than
I actually know. I mentioned him a segment ago when we were doing Stock Up, Stock Down.
And
with good reason, talking about Ricky Slade and moving on, and how, you know, Miles Sanders won't carry the load like Barkley did, and so they need Sanders to be a key part of the offense.
So you're still part of the problem, not part of the solution.
Exactly.
All right, so is that it?
Yep, that's
okay,
it.
Okay, there you go, Matt. I don't know what to tell you. It's going to continue, I guess. I do feel like we're kind of transitioning out of that because,
yeah.
And really, I mean, three games into a year when Saquon Barkley meant so much to the program, like, we're going to mention him.
Right.
This is Ask Greg here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by tailgatewine.com. Get yours this weekend, September 22nd and 23rd at the Central PA Outdoor and Sports Show at the number one cycle center, Harley-Davidson, on Route 322 east of State College in Center Hall. That's September 22nd and 23rd, the Central PA Outdoor and Sports Show. Another question here for you. It's another Juwan Johnson question. I think it's how a lot of people are feeling. Phil from Rye, New York. What has happened to Juwan Johnson? He was supposed to be the go-to guy, and so far, nil. That's his word, nil.
Yeah, I don't know, Dustin. I can't figure it out either. He looks a little slow out there. He looks a little timid at times. He doesn't always have doesn't always feel like he has any chemistry with Trace McSorley. I don't know. Something just seems off about him. There's no question that he works hard. He puts a lot of effort into what he does. He's one of the team's hardest workers. So I'm sure he's as disappointed as anybody that this hasn't worked out the way he wanted to. But it's a concern for a guy that, you know, looked like a potential first round draft pick, I think, back when he was, during the offseason. And now, I mean, it just has not been good.
I think that he's got a rebound game in him coming up sometime. And what better way to be hidden, if you want to put it that way, through three games than to burst onto the scene against Ohio State? Nobody will remember Kent State, Appalachian State, or Pitt if you have a big game against Ohio State. Let's see. Mark from Scranton says, hey, Greg, it seems as though through two games, I guess this question is a little bit older too, still applies. He thinks the best three linebackers on the team, Koa Farmer, Cam Brown, and Micah Parsons. Don't get me wrong, I like Jan Johnson, but I see him being more effective coming off the bench. My question is, being that Farmer has been in the program for so long, meaning he should have a great understanding of the defense and is bulked to play linebacker, why not let him play the mic and let Micah start outside? I know the coaches are big on letting the best players play, so this was something I thought should be tossed around.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we've talked about before that I think maybe as soon as Ohio State week, but certainly by October, that you'll probably see that change being made. But I think right now they're content with the rotation. The way they rotate guys, they're content starting Jan Johnson, Koa Farmer, and Cam Brown, and then cycling in the other guys pretty quickly, you know, maybe a drive or two later. So I don't necessarily think that this is anything to overreact to or make a huge deal out of. I just think it is the way it is.
Yeah, and really, I mean, I think you're going to see the level of play from Penn State's linebackers just as a whole starting to project upward. And I think the rise of Micah Parsons will help that. Here's another one from our friend Frank from Warminster. I wanted to get to a recruiting question that has to do with Joey Porter Jr., who we haven't talked about at all because
right.
We're in season. Says, I know recruiting services generally differ on player rankings, but how can 247 have Porter as the number one player in the state and Rivals has him at number 9? Can you ever recall another scenario like that in recruiting, wide variations in opinion?
It's just about how you view guys. I mean, you think anybody can turn to film on and have a different opinion about a player. So I don't necessarily think it's anything that says, you know, one service will obviously be proven right and the other one wrong, but I don't think it's any shade on I don't think it's any shade on Joey Porter Jr. that he's ranked differently, but I just think it's a matter of what camps you go to. Did you go to a Rivals camp? Did you go to a Nike camp? Did you go to no camps? Did one of the analysts come watch you play, or did they never see you play and just watch your tape? Do they live in a part of the region where they value guys that they see more often because they live closer to those guys? So they might see him play five times and you may not see you play at all. So maybe they devalue you because they don't see you play. So, I mean, all the things, there's a lot of things that go into this, and it's hard to put your finger on exactly one or two reasons why there's a difference in opinion. Clearly there is. I don't know what that reason is, though.
Well, one thing that you look at with a player like Joey Porter Jr. is he's 6'2", 185 pounds, roughly. Do you view him as a cornerback? Do you view him as a safety? And does the fact that he is kind of a tweener impact how you view him just in terms of his upside? So both of these services list him as a cornerback. ESPN, I believe, lists him as a safety. And I think if you're not fitting kind of conventional norms for that position, there's room for one recruiting services to discount that, and there's room for another to not think it's that big a deal. I'm in the camp where I don't think it's that big a deal because I really like Joey Porter Jr. as a cornerback.
So do I. I mean, this isn't quite the Judge Culpepper thing where he was a tweener, so he was rated differently based on how each recruiting service viewed his future playing out, whether it was an end or a tackle. That's not so much the case here. There's just a difference in opinion on what his ceiling is, I think.
He looks to me a lot like Amani Oruwariye, where he is long. He is very technically sound because obviously with his dad being Joey Porter, he's spent a lot of time around football in his life. He also is a takeaway guy. You know, Amani Oruwariye is a guy that Penn State said, you know, James Franklin said a bunch of times, the ball just finds him. I think Joey Porter Jr., the ball finds him too. And I think he missed three games last year. I think he had seven interceptions for North
Carolina. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
So he can make plays out there. I think he sticks at cornerback. That's just my opinion. One more question. Let's go, John from Hartwell, Georgia. Real quick answer here. What ever became of Journey Brown? Has he played in any game yet?
Well, I just think he's not progressing at the rate everybody thought he would. And because of that, you know, he just isn't – he is not yet at the point where he's ready to play. So they'll get him out there sometimes. But, you know, Jonathan Thomas getting late game run over Brown sort of tells you all you need to know.
And then no kick returns too. KJ Hamler has really emerged. Who do you like as the best question of the week?
Dave from Milwaukee. He wins it this week with the John Dunmore question because we don't talk a lot of recruiting at this time of year. It was good
refreshing
to get that one in. Yeah,
it's refreshing. Yeah, got our engines revved up with that and with Joey Porter Jr. So Dave from Milwaukee expects some communication from us. Congratulations. You got yourself a bottle of tailgate wine. Thanks, everybody else, for submitting your questions. And by the way, download the Keystone Sports app. You can keep submitting your questions there. You can also listen to everything we do there and at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We'll see you next time.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.